sermon, purpose to share the best with the rest. That's the bishop.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank God for his resurrection power.
Yeah,
amen. As the song said, it's moving in this hour.
Yeah.
That Jesus might be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The glory of God should be the focus and the focal points of everything that is done. Amen. In time, basically, because he is the one. Nobody like Jesus.
Nobody.
None like him. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, not to prolong the time. Do want to reiterate the message of thanks to all of you who made the appreciation service a great success. And something I definitely was blessed. A few surprises in there for the pastor, which was great. And also for Brother G and myself, we just thank God for, as we have said, so we won't say that, beat that one to death, but we do thank you. I want to give a special word of thanks to my wife, First Lady, for organizing and pulling all those strings and things she did to get the musician here, who is our brother, and organize the choir and all that. Y'all sounded great. I really was well blessed. Amen. Had guests in and everything. I guess the little girls even blessed me to go in. I almost broke me to tears. Amen. Singing that basic song, Yes, Jesus Loves Me. Amen. I remember that one from the children's choir at St. John AME Church. Amen. One of the earliest memories of my childhood connection to the Lord. Amen. But without any further ado, let us go right ahead. I want to share a few words with you today that I think are timely, and nothing like being fed the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Because the Word of God is, as we have mentioned before in previous lessons, it is the catalyst of change. And we have said that some of you may have been here for that message. It is the thing that we take in that helps produce the changes that God desires in each of our lives. Amen. And it's through his word. It's amazing to me, really. I mean, we talk about how the millions and billions of dollars spent on psychiatrists and all kinds of counselors and people of that sort, billions every year are spent. And but yet there is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He wrote a book that exceeds Freud and all these various folks, and they thought they had it all going on, Plato and Aristotle and all of them, but the Word of God is greater than them all. Amen. And so we get our counseling from the Most High. Amen. He is the creator, and so he knows more about it than anybody else who's trying to figure it out. Amen. So he had it figured out already. We're going to look at that, take a glimpse into the Word here today. I'd like to ask you if you're able to stand and read with me from the Old Testament, from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, some of you know that at one time Deuteronomy was the end of the Bible. We'd say it was the equivalent of the book of Revelation to some extent today, the last book in the Revelation from God. And so it is a powerful book. And this is nearly the end of the book as we take a look at the narrative from Moses, the man of God, who writes here close to the end of his life. And you'll see that as the text will reveal, amen, his earthly life, let's say. And let's also mention that we talk about resurrection power over in the promised land on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses appeared, amen. So we know that even though we read about his death here, that Moses is alive and well, along with Elijah and also with all the prophets. And we can talk about Enoch, who was taken, he was not, and Elijah, and basically all those and all any other saints who had believed in God. Amen. So the resurrection power preserved all of them. But let's go ahead as we take a stand and read just a few verses from the narrative from the book of Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and also in the New Testament, if you happen not to have a handout, will be found in the book of Hebrews in the 3rd chapter, the first 6 verses. Amen. So let's read together here, Deuteronomy 31:1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, and the Lord, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, the king of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doeth go with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. This is from 31:8, the last verse in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, of our reading. Let's say the last verse of our reading. Now we're going to read the book of Hebrews, New Testament, chapter number 3, and verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm until the end. Selected verses from Hebrews chapter 3. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And I want to talk with you today briefly on the subject of privilege to share the best with the rest. Amen. Privilege to share the best with the rest. Amen. That's the state that you and I live in. We are privileged by God to share the best, who is Jesus, with the rest, as those who don't believe. Amen. So we have an evangelistic purpose in the world. Now, let me say this just in our opening remarks here. The evangelistic purpose that you have, some of it is in automatic. It's being done automatically. You say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, God, when he saved you, he called you out of darkness, as we mentioned during our prayer time, into his marvelous light. He placed you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit baptizes each believer into the body. He places you in the body where he wants you to be. Did you know that? That's something you don't have to figure out. Let's see, do I want to be an arm or a leg? No. God, the Holy Spirit, says, I have called you for this position in the body, and he puts you in the body of Christ. God does all these things. See, so it's not the church nor the people, and people get confused on this in our time. People think that the church and the people, the pastor, and some people, some factions or divisions of the church even think that there's some hierarchy who has some authority to tell you what you should do and where you ought to be in the church. But the scripture says that the Holy Spirit places you, he baptizes you, that means to immerse you into the body of Christ as he wills. He also gifts you, he gives you gifts to operate in the area where he calls and places you. Did you know that? That's all, I call that automatic control. That's already being done. God does it. It takes God to give somebody that enthusiasm that they need, or whatever it is that you need to operate in the capacity that he has placed you. See, you know what? I'm glad it was God, because you know what? There was a time what happened to me once God got me out of sin and got me to thinking about the truth. I started reading the word because I was confused, because there was so much confusing stuff being said by the church. I said, boy, I listened to this church over here, and they said this, and I listened to that church over there, and they said that, and I listened to this pastor here and that one there, and I heard this radio program, saw that TV show, and I was so confused, it was unbelievable. And so I prayed. I asked God. I came across the book of James and said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and upbraideth not. In other words, he won't find any fault with you, even though you got plenty. There's a lot of stuff wrong with you. You are whacked in so many ways. But he won't find fault with you. He won't hold that against you if you ask. That's what it means. I have to explain that upbraideth not. People say, what does that mean? Well, it means he won't hold anything against you because of the blackness of your condition, just to put it in a common term. Yeah, you twisted, you warped, you got all kinds of stuff, you know, the issues in your life, stuff in your mind ain't right. You may only have an education to this level, that level, the other level. It makes no difference. God says, none of that, I'm not even looking at any of that. No split home and I got depression and the kind of stuff you might have. I don't even care about any of that. Not that he doesn't care. Let's just say it doesn't stop him from doing what he wants to do in your life. The devil can't even stop it. Somebody might be hating on you. There might be somebody who don't care about you. You know, I was talking to one guy, and he told me he went and he graduated from high school, and he went home and told his dad, hey, look, Dad, I got my diploma. He said, yeah, that's nice. Now, where are you going to be living after today? That's what his dad said to him. So where are you moving to? That was his next question. But we kind of chuckle about that, but different people in different ways about how folks get treated. But if you call on God, God says, I don't take any negative thing in your life into account at all. This is strictly with me and you. You know, and I thought about it. The reason that is, he already knows what whackness I have and how twisted I am. So he said, if you want to know something, ask me. And he said, this is the caveat, ask in faith without any doubting. Don't doubt that I'll do what I said, because the one who doubts is like a surfer of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that person expect that they should receive anything from the Lord, because you don't even believe what you're asking. But if you really want to know, ask me. And if you do it in faith, he says, then you know you will get the request. God says, I will honor that request. So we all have what I call a blank check to wisdom. And that's why James says you have not because you ask not. If you don't ask, then how do you expect to figure it out? What are you doing? How is it going to get straightened out in your head what's right and what's wrong? See, but if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. That's what Jesus said, right? If you knock, it'll be open. So you ought to be, that's why it says this too, and I'm going to bring all these verses together for you. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those who come to God, what? Must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. See, so it doesn't make any difference. Your credentials don't make you able to come and get anything. You don't have to come with a college education. You don't have to come with a high school diploma. You don't have to come even with an eighth grade education. You can come to God however you are. And when you ask, God is going to give you wisdom. He's going to help you understand the thing that's on your mind. And so that's why I say we are privileged. Because God doesn't discount us. A lot of people in your life discount you. They say, eh, that's only old Jeremiah over there. They take off points because he has situations or things of that sort. God doesn't do that. You know what? Everybody has an equal stand before the Most High God. You know what else? If you happen to be Trump and you come, you don't have an advantage that you can get more information from God. I wish he would ask him myself about some stuff, because he might do some stuff different. But it doesn't make any difference how high and mighty you might be on the earth. See, you don't have an advantage. The little kid on the street, those little girls who sang that song, they can say, Lord, and God is listening. And he will yield wisdom to whoever asks in faith. Doesn't make any difference how old, how young, how smart, how stupid, whatever you want to say. And so asking God and being involved with God is the thing that gives you the privileges of God. And when you get those privileges, God is doing it because he wants to impact all the people in your sphere of life. See, he's giving it to you because you talk to me. You inquire of me. You want to understand me. You want to understand life. You want to know what's right. You don't want to be twisted and walking a dark, crooked road. You don't want to be like the guy we mentioned earlier, the blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that doesn't exist. You don't want to be like that, confused, and you just don't know what you're doing. So what you do is you ask God. And God gives wisdom. Now think about this. Moses is our subject here. Just to take a look at this, how we are privileged to share the best with the rest. God always wants to influence the people who know him and seek him and love him. He loves you already, else you wouldn't be seeking him. We love him, why? Because he first loved us, right? See, that's why he loves you and why you love him, because he sought you. He came looking for you. Wherever your problem was, he's always seeking us. He's looking out for your best good and your highest good in your life. He wants the very best for you. You know what? He wants more and better for you than you may even want. You may judge yourself and slow down what God might like to do with you. So I want to admonish you to seek more and seek higher and deeper in your relationship with God. Don't ever let the devil or anybody else tell you that as far as you can go. You know, because you can go farther. You can go higher. You can go deeper into your relationship with God. And it's really the only thing holding you back is us. Moses learned that. He was out there. He had fled because he murdered an Egyptian at the age of 40 in the land of Egypt. He thought nobody knew because he went and buried the body in the sand, the Bible says. And then the next day, two Hebrews were fighting, and he came out and said, hey, don't do that. That's your brother. And he tried to judge between them. They said, well, what you going to do, bury us like you did that Egyptian? They said, oh, boy, everybody knows about it. He found out it was widely known what he did. So you know what he did? He got his hat, and he crept out into the night and went on and escaped over to the land of Midian. He was gone for 40 years. And around the time of the narrative of the burning bush, he's about the age of 80. He's on the backside of the desert now, down in the land of Midian. There where Jethro, the high priest, had married his daughter, you see. And Jethro was a priest of Midian, his father-in-law. And then he saw a bush burning. Y'all know that story. You read that before. And he said, boy, that's strange. That bush is burning, but it still looks green in there. That ain't right. But let me go head on. And just like he passed by that and went on about his business to graze the sheep, Jethro's flock. Came back that evening. What? It's still burning and it's still green. That ain't right. I got to go over here and check this out. So he goes over and he gets close to the bush. Then God spoke to him. See, that's why I say you need to move close to God. Get in closer when you see something unusual. He wants to talk to you, but he wants to get your attention. He wants you to come in first. So I can share something with you. Put something on your mind. He told Moses, put off your shoes, off your feet. Moses, because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. That explains why there could be a bush that was green that was still burning. See, because God can do supernatural things because he is a supernatural God. So he sent Moses right back to Egypt. Y'all know that story. And he came there and he began to smite the Egyptians with plagues. He announced them first. To let them know, God sent me to tell you to let my people go. Pharaoh said, oh, yeah, God sent you. Yeah, right. Yes, he did. Yeah. You expect me to buy that, buddy? You know, this was a different Pharaoh, not the one who was there when he killed the Egyptian. So he didn't believe. And then so the very plague Moses announced, boom, it hit right on schedule. I said, boy, that was a coincidence. This dude couldn't be that sharp old man, 80 years old, walking with a stick. I'm coming here and tell me, and I'm the Pharaoh of Egypt. Who do you think you are? If he was appalled that you would have nerve. Boy, the first thing happened, he said, that's a little strange. Well, started to put something on his mind. And Moses said, well, you know what's going to happen? God said, I'm going to tell you again, let his people go so they can come and worship him. And so he does that. Y'all know how the story goes. And the Pharaoh never believed. He hardened his heart each time. Instead of seeing what Moses did and giving him credit and saying, okay, he's speaking for God, because how else can all these things happen? He was hung up in the same kind of confusion some of us are. There were magicians in his land empowered by Satan doing stuff. Just like there's some folk today do some stuff, look supernatural. You know, and just because it looks supernatural, does that mean it's from God? No. How do you tell? Look in God's word. God's word is the measuring stick by which we measure that which is true and that which is false. And so we talked about that in some previous lessons. But the ones who believe God, they will stick to his word no matter what. When you come into the church and there's confusion, get in the word. That's one thing. Second thing, get on your face. Talk to God. Ask God to make it plain to you. Ask him to explain it to you so you can understand it. Ask him how I should deal with this. See, and you can ask people, that's okay. God put some people in the world and are gifted to help teach you and feed you on knowledge and understanding. As we said, Jeremiah 3:15, right? I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. Well, they're in there, but you also got the charlatans and the hypocrites and the thieves and all the other folks who are also trying to teach and are using God's word, pretty much like Balaam. We could go through the Bible and name a whole bunch of them. Folks who spoke in God's name, but they weren't really for the people's benefit. Talked about some of them this morning, Eli and Hophni and Phinehas and folks like that who really, they're in there, they're playing the role, but they don't have your best intention in mind. So it behooves us as children of God to realize the privilege that God has given us. He's given us a blank check to ask for any wisdom that we need. He is faithful. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never fail you. He will always make sure you have what you need. You will get exactly what you need, and you need to know that right well. Get that one down in your spirit. Then I'm going to ask God, and God's going to let me know what I need to do. Because he said he would. And he's a man of his word. He cannot fail. His word is more sure than the very ground we're standing on. Why? Because he said the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So his word is better than the earth. It's more sure than the sunrise. So we can count on his word. So notice this now. And I just said all that to get you from the beginning of Moses' life. Here it is now at the age of 120. See it in the text. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. God has multiplied his people. They've come out of Egypt, came through the wilderness, came through the Red Sea on dry land. They've been moving forward because God is raising up a people for his own possession. Moses has guided them for 40 years in the text we have in front of us. And Moses went and spake all these words to all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Guess what? It was his birthday. How about that? Wow, on my birthday, I got a message for you. And he says, I can no more go out and come in. That's the message. That's probably bad news. They're probably thinking, oh, my God. Also, the Lord has said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. He said, that's bad news to somebody. But maybe it's not. God said it. He had a reason why. Then the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee. How did you get out of Egypt into the wilderness anyway? The Lord your God went before you. He came in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And he opened up the Red Sea and stopped the enemy from pursuing you so you could cross the Red Sea on dry land. And you came through and he moved the barrier after y'all got through to the other side. Y'all remember that, how your grandparents and all them told you what happened out here? All of that happened, and what was it? God went before you. He made a way out of no way. He opened up and moved stuff that would have been an obstacle to me and you to get you from where you were to where you are. He did that for me. Wasn't the Red Sea, but it might as well have been. I was headed for death. The enemy was after me. He was about to take everything I had. And God said, no. Somebody wrote a song, Mercy Said No. And he let me come through. And he brought me through. See, and he did that for most of you who are here today. If you think about it, and I don't know you very well, all of you, but I know God has brought you through. Or you wouldn't be here today. So Moses knows this, so he understands God. He's got a rapport with God. He said, the Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them, and Joshua, he shall go over before thee. God is going to give you another leader like me. You know the name Joshua happens to be the same as the name Jesus? in the Hebrew? Yeshua. He's going to go over before you. And there's metaphor in this also. The law cannot get you saved. Moses is the law giver, but Yeshua, he can get you saved. He can take you over. Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Hebrew says. That's Jesus, the Messiah. You see, he can get you saved. He's the only one that can go over before you. He's the only one that can fight the battle. He's the only one that has the victory already. And so Moses makes the announcement here boldly to the children of Israel. And he's going to go before you. The Lord is going to go before you. And Joshua, that's just like saying Jesus, the anointed one, is going to go before you. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, unto the land of them whom he destroyed. And you know what? They had history of what God had already done. I bet somebody in the room's got some history about what God already did for you. There was some stuff overtaking you. It was running your life. And you got hooked up with the Lord through Jesus Christ. And he said, no more of that. He shut it down, whatever it was. He gave you victory. And he said, I'm not even done yet. I just did that so you can continue to trust in me. You can continue to walk with me. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He was teaching you that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He said, he shall be like a tree planted beside the rivers of water, brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. See, there's a process there. God's taking you through a process. He's already shown you, I got your back. I brought you out of darkness. I put you in the light. I opened up your mind. I'm showing you my word, and I have a future and a plan for your life. And if you just trust me, keep on trusting me. And I'm using you because I make you the privileged one that you might be able to share the best, who is my son, with the rest who don't know him. And that's where you and I stand. So we can see it in the life of Moses. Let's just look at this last little bit. Now, this is the thing we're going to need. Be strong and of good courage. See, fear not, nor be afraid of them. When there's obstacles in front of you, be strong. Be of good courage. Don't let it break you down. Faith says, no, God has got this. God is going to take me through this. I don't care how fierce it looks. I don't care how horrendous it may look or how overpowering it may look. God said, I'm going through. So I'm covered. That's what faith says. And so don't break down in the heat of the moment. Be of good courage and fear not, and neither be afraid of them. For God got you on this. See that? He will not forsake you. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of Israel, be strong, he'd tell him. Same thing, Joshua going, well, hey, I don't like how this is looking. We've been depending on you, Moses. No, you be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people. You're going to go and unto the land which the Lord swore unto their fathers to give them. See, God is still looking at the promises he made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David. And that's coming through right through your generations all up till God does everything he wants to do with all the people on the earth. He's got promises in the past that haven't come to pass fully yet. And you're somewhere in the midst of that paradigm, and God wants to move you through as the privileged ones who believe him and have faith. And it says here, the Lord, he is, verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Dismay is that feeling of, oh, I don't think I can make it. Well, don't be like that. Don't be dismayed. God says, I got it. It might look fearful to you, but you need to keep going. So good leadership has always been one of the greatest aspects of the people of God. And in some ways, each person in the body of Christ plays a major role as a leader in the sense that everybody's responsibility to lead others to faith is the only savior of mankind. That's all of our responsibility, is to lead others. So God has privileged us to do that. So are you going to have a flawless, trouble-free life as you do that? No. Is the devil going to be happy with you as you snatch people out of this kingdom? No. Is he going to be all hunky-dory with you as you're taking away his people who he has deceived and duped? No. He's going to be very upset. He's going to hate on you even more. He's going to turn the heat up higher and higher because he wants you to wimp out and fail. See, but you have to stand on the truth. So that's why you need good leadership. We need pep talks, if you will. Moses knew that. We need somebody to talk to us, to keep our mind focused on the target. Remember what the writer to the Hebrews said. He said, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus had to go through the hideous cross and the crucifixion. See, he was able to focus on that cross no matter what happened. Suppose Pilate or some of them killed him before. He might not have made it the way they beat him and flogged him and spit on him and all of that. The humiliation and the shame would be enough to kill some of us. The disgrace of ripping off your clothes and pushing you out there. Suppose somebody stripped off your garments and pushed you out in the middle of Dr. King Drive. That would be humiliating, wouldn't it? Jesus went through that. They snatched off his clothes and gambled for his garments. Hung him out there naked. Flogged him and beat him. Mocked him and spit on him. Look at what he went through. That's what he says. Fix your eyes on him, what he went through to secure the victory for the ones who trust him and believe in him. Wherefore, the writer to the Hebrews says, holy brethren, keep that in mind. You are holy brethren. God has sanctified you, set you apart. You are protectors of the heavenly calling. Consider the apostle, that means the sent one, of the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. Just think about what he went through. Who was faithful to him that appointed him? Jesus did that because God appointed him to do so, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this man, he says, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, obviously. Inasmuch as he who had built the house hath more honor than the house. The builder has more honor than the house. The house is just the one product of his imagination. But the builder knows how to build multiple houses and all sorts. He can build better houses and more. So he has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. See that? And so notice what he goes on to say. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. See that? We are the place where Christ dwells, the body of Christ. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Confidence and rejoicing. Where is whining and weeping and all that? None, is there? Confidence and rejoicing. You and I have been privileged to be confident and rejoice in the hope that Christ has secured for us. So as the called out people of God, we are privileged to have the commission to share Christ Jesus with all the world, regardless of whether or not they accept or believe it. Sometimes we don't share it because we know, he probably ain't going to believe it anyway. Or if I mention it, I might be humiliated, or they may just say something disgraceful to me. Or talk about me like a dog. We think about that kind of stuff. Jesus went through all that. And he did it to empower me and you to take a stand to present the best to the rest. Even though Moses, the man of God, has always been revered as one of the greatest leaders of the people of God, toward the end of his life, at the age of 120 years, the scriptures teach that God was passing the leadership of his people to Joshua. Just as the writer to the Hebrews is diligent to teach the Hebrew Christians that Jesus is the best and final revelation of God to all people for all of time. See, so that's where we stand. And you know what? I've said this and y'all know it. The main thing I want to do is tell people what you need to do to be right with God. Nothing else is more important. God loves you just like you are. He will accept you like you are. But he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's going to make you better than you are. Amen. And so boy, we want to be bold in our witness to stand as we tell people the truth. How many times has something in your life shut your mouth when you know you need to talk to this person and you let it shut your mouth. I know I have, and I'm ashamed of it in one sense, but God knows it takes some development. I think about all the times I did say something and all the times I do go places where people don't want to go to tell people about Christ. Years and years of that, you know. And sometimes it's people who really that are the closest to you who you have the most difficulty talking to. And sometimes they don't want to hear you. So you know what you need to do? Take that wisdom, ask God, raise up somebody in their life. And I'm going to talk to the people who will hear over here. You'll be that somebody somebody else prayed for somebody else. And so you ask God to raise up somebody to cover those folks who won't listen to you. See, but you still haven't given up on them. And you still have the privilege to share the best with the rest. And God, how many does God want saved? He said he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means any of them who believe in him should not perish. He doesn't want them to perish. It was never God's desire that any should perish. Death is a foreign thing. That's what's going to be destroyed in the second death is death. The Bible says death and hell and the false prophet and all of them are going in the lake of fire, which is the second death. See? So in either case, we want to ask everyone to stand at this time. The hour has gotten late. But this message I just thought was critical because we're looking for more development. And the way it's going to happen is through you. That's the way it's going to happen. You think, well, who would believe me? They're not really focused on you. It's the Spirit of God who is there. You know, when you tell the truth, the Lord, that's why it says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So when you open your mouth, guess what? The Holy Spirit is there to provide evidence that what you're saying is true. So he always will. Let's pray. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you for the gospel, that good news that you have completed all the work necessary for us to be saved and know it. Deep in our souls that we might know it and that we might never, ever doubt it or lose any kind of a faith over any of it, Lord. If things are rough, Father, we pray you help stand us up, keep us going. Father, we ask that you save anyone in the room who has just come to a conscious understanding that you gave your son and he by himself makes us spotless before your glory. And that you raise him out the grave to prove that even death, the enemy that scares us all, has been swallowed up in victory. Help us to know that right well, oh God. And we give you praise and glory, and we ask you to bless everybody in the room, or even people hearing me by the extension of the internet or however they're hearing our voice, that they would believe the gospel and trust in your son and be saved. We know there's only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Give us the boldness to confront everything and anything else that contradicts the truth, and we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. As you are standing on your feet, if you are not a member of a church, we'd like to invite you to come. If you're not saved, by all means, come at this time. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice later on in that same chapter, harden not your heart. Amen. If you hear his voice today, whether you're saved or if you come with Christian experience, we accept you today. Or if you come not knowing Christ and you just want to receive him today. If you come needing to be baptized and you've never submitted to that ordinance of baptism, we invite you to come at this time. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. That thing I mentioned in the prayer about the one day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there's room. We pray you got a good word.
Amen.